This is Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Every weekday, we talk with public officials, business and education leaders, nonprofit organizations, and more about the issues of the day. As we work hard to help you stay connected with local news and information, presented by Roseburg Foot and Ankle Specialists. Now, here's Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Yeah. Afternoon. Thanks for being here. As we cover a lot of different issues around the Umpqua Valley, and word was out yesterday about a decision, a filing from the U.S. Forest Service in reaction to it from the American Forest Resource Council. So we thought we'd pull Nick Smith in from the organization to talk about it. Nick, thanks for being on.
Thank you, Kyle. Great to be back on the program.
So I guess, first of all, give us an overview about this Forest Service announcement yesterday regarding the roadless rule.
Sure. So this week, the Forest Service filed its proposed rule and a draft environmental impact statement to rescind the roadless rule in its entirety. What we're talking about is a policy that impacts more than 44 million acres of national forest system land. And most of that, like an overwhelming amount of that, like 95%, is in 10 western states. And of course, here in Oregon, we have a lot of roadless areas.
So I guess, first of all, your take, your organization's take on what the rule has done in the last 25 years.
Well, our issue with the roadless rule is that it is an outdated, rigid, top-down, one-size-fits-all policy that has basically been applied to all of these millions of acres of national forest system lands. And it's an arbitrary policy that just to us isn't up to the challenges that we're facing today, and that is namely wildfire. And our ability to deal with, forest insects, disease, and really the epidemic of dead trees that we're seeing on national forest system lands today.
When we back up, when the roadless rule was put into place, what was the idea behind it?
Well, I guess you would have to ask those folks. I think there's a thinking that setting aside land as roadless, brings benefits. But, as millions of acres are burning every year, we think it's time to take another look at that.
And apparently that's what is going on. Do you see kind of a shift in some of the policies in the last few months from the Forest Service?
We've seen a significant shift really over the past couple of years, and even going back into the Biden administration, in that, we've got millions of acres of federal forests that are at immediate risk of severe wildfire and need some form of active management. And, Biden had some policies in place, and now the Trump administration has been very aggressive in terms of reforming this system of federal land management and addressing the obstacles to active forest management. And I think today across the political spectrum, there's a feeling that we can't be going through this year after year with all these wildfires and smoke events. We need to be looking at 21st century policies to deal with the problems that we're facing today. And rescinding the roadless rule, in our opinion, is one of those.
Now, that move came out yesterday. What's the process involved before or if it actually takes place?
Well, the Forest Service announced its intention to rescind the roadless rule back in September, so like nearly a year ago, and they accepted public comments on that. And over that period of time, the Forest Service was, assessing those public comments, getting its science together for its environmental impact statement. And so all of the environmental documents the Forest Service needs to have to move forward with rescinding the roadless rule are now in place. And so the rule will be published. I don't think it has been published as of this interview, but It should be in the Federal Register within the next day or two. Then there's going to be another public comment period that's going to go through September 21st, and that will give people another opportunity to give their opinions on it.
Now, you've talked about forest management. Talk about the access issue to getting to the forest and maybe how that ties in here.
Well, that's a really good question because everything starts with access, right? Healthy forests need active management. To manage forests, you need access to safely fight fires and contain them before they can threaten nearby communities requires access. And so, you know, one thing that, you know, I think a lot of people miss in this debate is that, you know, over the past few decades, we have lost a lot of access to these public lands. Forest roads have been, decommissioned. And the impact of that it cuts across many things. You know, when you don't have that access, you know, you can't get in there to thin the trees. Firefighters have a tougher time. And there just isn't that safe sort of way to get through these public lands that there was before. And so I think rescinding the roadless rule kind of restarts that conversation in terms of, like, what do we need to do to be, you know, actively managing these forests, you know, make sure that they stay green instead of, you know, going black. And, you know, are we empowering our public land managers to do the right forest management treatments in the right place at the right time? I think are all good questions.
When you talk about the access as well, if you are if it's hard to access an area, even if you weren't necessarily planning to do something there, it's hard to evaluate it so you know what should be done, if something should be done.
Well, you know, I think what rescinding the roadless rule does, and we can also talk about how it works within the Northwest Forest Plan, is you know, it will give public land managers the ability to do more management, you know, where it's needed. I think another thing that gets lost is rescinding the roadless rule doesn't mandate, you know, any new roads or logging. It simply restores the ability of land managers, you know, under their forest plans to make science-based site-specific decisions like thinning overstock stands under the existing sort of environmental laws that we continue to operate under.
So, and you mentioned that this doesn't necessarily mean more timber would be cut. I would imagine some people might be, you know, be, depending on their perspective, be a little worried about that leading to more timber being cut.
That's a fantastic question because there are a lot of people out there who are trying to scare the public into believing that rescinding the roadless rule would basically result in unfettered logging. And that's just simply not the case. In fact, rescinding the roadless rule is not going to produce a ton of timber. It's not going to produce enough timber that we need to sustain our forest infrastructure. What it is, it just gives public land managers the ability to make those site-specific decisions. And there will be cases where in the past, they weren't able to implement a project because it was in a roadless area, but it may make sense to put in a temporary road to thin an overstock stand.
Now, the roadless rule, if I understand correctly, was kind of layered over the Northwest Forest Plan, right?
That is absolutely right. It was layered over on top of the plan, as you said, and, you know, other management direction that already determines where, you know, forest management can occur. So, you know, the land use allocations under the Northwest Forest Plan do not disappear with the rescission.
And now, what have you heard, if anything, from other organizations about this situation?
About the situation with the roadless rule? Or?
Right, about the Forest Service and wanting to rescind it.
Well, you know, I think those who support, you know, active forest management, those who, you know, want to see people out working in the woods, helping, you know, keep our public lands healthy and accessible are supportive. But I think, as we talked about a few minutes ago, there are folks that, you know, really want to double down on the status quo that we've seen in federal land management over the past, you know, few decades. And that is, you know, no management, wildfire, smoke. And it's our opinion, after 25 years in this case, after dealing with, you know, all of these summers, difficult summers, we think it's time to do something different.
All right, going to take a break on Inside Douglas County. More when we come back. Nick Smith of the American Forest Resource Council, the interview podcast after 1 at 541radio.com, 1246 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Inside Douglas County, 1248. Lars Larson coming up at 1 o'clock. On Inside Douglas County, it is Nick Smith from the American Forest Resource Council. For people listening, maybe not as familiar with your group, why don't you kind of tell us more about your organization, its background, how long it's been around, etc.?
AFRC, the American Forest Resource Council, is a regional trade association. We are in 7 western states. And we represent everyone from, wood products manufacturers to small family-owned logging businesses. We have counties as members, other partisan organizations that all have an interest in good, sustainable, active forest management of our federal lands. And so we also partner with, Douglas timber operators and others to, you know, get the message out and ultimately, you know, get some better policies that improve the management of these forests.
How did you get involved with the organization?
I've been doing this for a while. I was working in the Oregon legislature for 10 years and had the opportunity to work with state representatives in Roseburg, and just came to understand really when it comes to the, you know, not just the local environment, but social economic well-being of places like Douglas County. Forestry, especially on federal lands, is so important for so many reasons in terms of, you know, providing wood fiber to support our local manufacturing, and not to mention the need to, you know, reduce the risk of wildfire and keep these lands accessible for the general public.
You know, one of the things I remember a number of years ago, probably a decade ago, somebody I knew professionally, still know professionally, was out here, somebody who lived from back east, and was their first time to Oregon, and having lived in the Beltway and worked near the White House for many years, they were shocked. They said there's nothing they'd ever seen in their world travels that compared to Oregon.
That's for sure. I mean, even going back to the timber wars, there was this perception that, you know, all of the trees have been cut and there's nothing left out here. And so, you know, we need to put fences around our public lands and not do anything with them. But, you know, if there's one thing that Oregon does really well, it's grow trees.
And as you see the industry, it's been kind of a bumpy ride for the last few years.
I think it's always a challenge. Wood products is a lot like any other manufacturing sector. You need access to a stable and predictable supply of raw material in order to make a product that people use every day. And so, you know, wood products markets, they go up and down. There is always policy pressure, whether from Salem or Washington, D.C., in terms of how forests can be managed. And there's a, you know, consistent squeeze on the fiber supply. The timber industry is still part of Oregon's heritage. It is still the top softwood lumber producer in the entire country. And, we're still out there. We're still out there working in the woods, you know, being a part of the stewardship and supporting our communities.
Now, how important is it for the public to use the opportunity to comment on this proposed rescission of the roadless area rule?
Well, there is an opportunity to comment. I think once the rule is published, which should be imminent, People will have the opportunity to submit comments, give their opinions. They can go to regulations.gov. We'll have something on Healthy Forests, Healthy Communities website, healthyforest.org. And, we'd encourage anybody who, supports active forest management, doing better for our public lands to chime in and make their opinion known.
Do you feel like some of these changes from the Forest Service in the last few years, are they deep enough at a level that they will continue regardless, or at least largely regardless, of whatever comes in the next presidential administration?
Well, that's a good question. And, if you look at the Trump administration, which, both terms, the president, had issued executive orders prioritizing active forest management. President Trump's administration this time, it was, very aggressive in kind of tackling the regulatory obstacles to management on public lands. Those like in the National Environmental Policy Act, which tends to add years to projects getting implemented. And so, I think gradually, things are going in the right direction. There's bipartisan consensus that, we just can't lock up these lands and walk away. We need to be dealing with the fuel problem. And so I think there's, solutions from both sides of the aisle. But at the same time, everything that moves in federal land management right now is being litigated. Projects are getting, we've seen cases this summer where, projects have been litigated, tied up, in lawsuits, and, the fires burn before, public land managers get a chance to do the thinning work. What we need is for Congress at some point to pass, legislation that deals with that anti-forestry litigation and the obstacles that our public land managers deal with every day.
Now, we've had a record amount of forest land burn in Oregon this year. Obviously, that's on a checkerboard path of who the ownership is, whether federal, state, private, et cetera. But at the same time, do you think this wave of fires, which thankfully the Umpqua Valley has largely avoided, has really brought this discussion out there to get more attention?
Yeah, I think there's a recognition that we've got a fuel problem on our forests and our rangelands. As usual, the overwhelming acres that have burned this year are on federal lands. And, removing fuels is something that can and should be done, whether in the forests or on the rangelands. And that's why we need a local timber industry. That's why we need ranchers and farmers, is that, together we provide the people and the infrastructure to do that active management. If you don't have those people, that equipment, certainly markets, there really is no solution to the fuel problem on these lands. And so, we like to talk about the role we have to play in keeping these forests green.
And I suppose it should be pointed out here, if I understand this correctly, this proposed rescission of the rule is not just a Northwest thing. This is on a broader level, right?
Yeah, this is across 10 Western states. What's interesting is that Idaho and Colorado both have their own unique roadless rules, which was done through, collaboration in those states. And the rescission doesn't impact the roadless areas in those states. What we're talking about is the other 44 million acres in Oregon and other states where this policy was basically layered upon, imposed on our federal lands. And it's a good time to take a look at that and see if there's a better approach to managing our lands than this roadless rule.
As we wrap up, if people want to find out more about this and AFRC's take on it, where do they go for information?
They can go to the Forest Service's website. There's a lot of information there. There's the environmental impact statement. There's a lot to read about this policy, and the Forest Service is a great place to go.
Nick Smith from the American Forest Resource Council, thanks for being on.
Thank you.
1257 News Radio, 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.
Inside Douglas County on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. Listen every weekday afternoon at 1230 to stay connected with what's happening in your community. Today's interview will be available as a podcast in just a few minutes at 541radio.com. So share it with others and let them know where they can hear it. Inside Douglas County is a public affairs presentation of Brook Communications. Stay connected with local news and information. News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN.